So you can see the title there, and I apologize. I made a boo-boo and I was late loading the abstract, so I could not load the abstract. But it's no secret, so I apologize. Essentially, what I would like to tell you is a story. And in this case, we did not any screen. Just we came from an humble hypothesis. And the hypothesis is very simple. During stress, abiotic stress, we know that plants tend to minimize the area for evapotranspiration. So what happens is that stress, essentially, what it does, accelerates senescence. Plants drop leaves and try to keep a little area just to survive, put some seeds and some progeny. And that is an excellent strategy for plants in evolution. Of course, it's terrible for crops. You cannot afford that in crops. In crops, we need yields. So what we hypothesize that could be possible to increase the drought of salt, in this case, I will show also tolerance of these plants, if we can delay the stress-induced senescence and effectively modify source-sink relationships during stress. Because it doesn't make any sense to drop those leaves, since those leaves have incredible valuable resources, all the protein, potassium, sugars, and even water is there. How we do that? Well, my idea was, let's take IPT, an enzyme from Agrobacterium tumefaciens that codes for isopentenyl transferase, the key enzyme in the cytokinin synthesis. And why cytokinin? Because, hey, we knew cytokinin is critical in delaying senescence. Well, I didn't want to load the table, but this has been tried ad nauseum since the late 70s. And unfortunately, it didn't work. Although there was delay in senescence, there was terrible changes in plant phenology and flowering. And remember, we are talking, well, usually when I talk with guys in Arabidopsis meetings, I say this, you guys know about this. We cannot alter flowering time. Rotation is critical for agriculture. So I decided that maybe, and the reason that doesn't work, it's very simple. The moment that you make these, all the approaches to produce, to limit senescence, stress-induced senescence, has been based essentially in having senescence-specific promoters driving the expression of IPT. And essentially making the old leaves produce, during senescence, cytokinin. And that's great. These leaves do not senesce. The only problem is that they do not break protein. And as you know, they have to break protein, they have to break chlorophyll in order to feed the sources, the sinks. And this source-sink inversion, really, is the thing that they cannot allow these senescence-specific promoters to work. So what we decided is to go for the same strategy, and like an idiot, I forgot to put the name of the promoter here. It's P-SARC. It's published. SARC for senescence activated receptor kinase, and I apologize. But we use this promoter because it's maturation activated before senescence. Senescence is too late. Just before senescence. And also, it's stress-induced. But essentially, it's also auto-regulated. The promoter is activated, IPT is expressed, cytokinin is produced. The moment you get cytokinin, you are now halting the stress-induced senescence, but by doing that also, you are now regulating down the promoter expression. And you can see here, we publish a bunch of papers. Please just go to the Google and you will see them, and explaining all these mechanisms and what happened with photosynthesis and proton degradation and so on, so on, so on. But essentially we try with rice. This paper was just published in Plant Biotechnology Journal. And you can see nicely the expression of the gene and the expression of IPT during the third day of drought stress, and then is autoregulated, it comes down. The other thing is, it's not only expressed in the older leaf, it's expressed everywhere in the plant, even in roots a bit. And this is critical, because the other problem that we have to be aware, and I will come back to that, is homeostasis is the key word in cell growth. And the moment you change one plant hormone, you are going to change the other ones. There is incredible crosstalk between plant growth regulators. And you have to be very careful that if you are going to change it, you are going to do it very gently. And that is a thing. And to do it gently, what you do is you keep it everywhere. And then sourcing relationships do not change too much under stress. How we do this? Okay, you guys know this, but in general, for people who are Arabidopsis, you have to tell them all of the time that it's useless to do stress trials during vegetative growth. When you try little plants, you try little seedlings, they can be very tolerant. Yet, the most sensitive part is anthesis. The most sensitive part is at the reproductive stage. Then, when the plant gets hit, you lose a lot during stress. And that is the way we try. What we do is during pre-anthesis or post-anthesis, we halt watering. The wild type start showing signals. In this case, rice, you will see the leaf rolling. But we only rewater when we see the signs of stress in the transgenic plant, not in the wild type plant. In the summer, in Davis, in a greenhouse, that can be, that can be 7-8 days. In the winter can be 8 to 11 days. It's depending. So here I'm showing three transgenic lines with the respective nulls, and you can see very clearly this was at the pre-anthesis stage. You can see very clear the difference between the transgenics and the nulls. And when we do yields in the greenhouse, okay, we grow the plants in 12-liter pots, but it's still the greenhouse. You can see very nice differences in yield during three transgenic lines here and the wild type. The yield penalty in the wild type is huge. The yield penalty in the transgenic plants is much lesser, around 30%. We try in the field, tobacco work very well. We are trying rice this year. I will show data from a colleague that will talk later, Paxton Payton, on peanuts. We are doing alfalfa. It really works well. Homeostasis, when you change an hormone, what happened with the expression of all the genes related to the synthesis of the other hormones? Obviously, are changing. Unfortunately, I don't know if you can see the red with the light here. Can you? Maybe we should lower it. But essentially, you can see, obviously, in the transgenic line, there is all the expression of the genes related to cytokine synthesis. With ABA, it's very nice to see the lesser response of ABA to stress in the transgenic lines. As we know, for years, we know the antagonic effects between relationship between cytokine and ABA and so on. You can see also very critical genes related to brassinosteroids. Brassinosteroids is a very important plant growth regulator, and is emerging literature showing really the relationship of brassinosteroids to yield. We have identified around 18 genes that now we are transforming, all related to this homeostasis. We also see here, for example, you have real-time PCR that shows you neatly all the overexpression of these genes related to brassinosteroid biosynthesis. We have nicely an antagonic response between jasmonic and salicylic acid. we expected that. We just try in case, whether or not, I know somebody will ask me, are these rice plants more sensitive to pathogens? We infected with Pseudomonas. We don't see no difference. So it appears that they're okay. And of course, all the other ones. I don't think I have too much time to see it, but go to the paper. Everything is well described there. So what happened with the sucrose and starch? You can see nicely, sucrose goes up, starch goes up, and you can see in this is in the flag leaf, but in the grain, look at the 30% increase in starch content in the grain. This is huge. We grow rice because of the starch, so it's nice. Again, more genes, all the expression of genes related to the starch degradation pathway is down. I'm not going to show this. We are writing the paper right now, and it's too complex. But essentially, we are seeing that key problem here is protein stability, protein synthesis, and protein degradation under heat, drought, and soil stress. And that is has something to do with the down regulation of the genes involved in the degradation of starch. We spent a fortune doing that, damn it. And what we found, that essentially there is no significant difference. We analyzed 169 metabolites and 10 more, almost 180. You know what? The transgenic plants, metabolically, are truly behaving like wild-time plants under well water conditions. So I will not go through this too much. Okay, let's start playing, please. Wheat, really to do wheat, you should do terminal drought stress, but it's stupid to do terminal drought stress in a greenhouse, no matter the size of your pot. In the field, there is no terminal drought stress. Roots always find some water. So we did some water limited stress, and we are finding very, very nice, don't touch it anymore, whatever it is, don't. And we find really nice phenotypes, as you can see the difference between the transgenics and the null. We don't have too many lines now, so we are transforming again in collaboration with Dan Blechel, USDA Albany, to go to the field. We are doing a very reduced field trial right now because we have no too many lines. You cannot go with three lines, so we need more. Salinity. Why do you have to do salinity and drought stress? I'm not going to explain to you guys. You know about the field conditions. And essentially, we also know in rice that the vegetative stage is the most sensitive. In this case, we start adding salt at the booting stage, because we have other genes, and I've showed that, and I published that like 15 years ago, we have transgenic plants growing, of genes that favor the growth of the plant under soil stress at the early stage. And now we are combining them, but this is at the booting stage. The differences are obvious. We went up to 120 millimolar, which is for rice is just too much, and yet we got incredibly good yield differences. This is being prepared for publication right now. But when we did the transcriptome analysis, well, you can see that the wild type, something is going on. It is obvious, compare this with this. But look at the similarity in the profiles between the well water and the soil stress transgenic plants. Very hardly you see differences there. Now, we identify like 1,000 genes responsive to drought. We identify 3,000 genes related to salinity. I'm talking about rice here. How many of them are in common? Well, less than 100. And this is incredible. You know, sometimes we say about the commonality of the stresses, osmotic, and blah, blah, but obviously it's not. So what we decided is to combine. We water constantly at 25 millimolar salt. That is a huge amount for rice. Particularly, this is kitake, which is, you cannot plant kitake except in Japan, but in the field, I mean. But we water with 25 millimolar, and then when we do the drought, is we do the same thing, we stop watering, and when we rewater, we come back with the salt all the way. And you can see a very, very nice difference, salt alone, the combined, the drought alone. You can see there are, according to my post, these differences are significant, but I don't believe them yet. We are redoing it and get, and now we built a pyramid, including a couple of genes for heat. We have massive construct. We transform, and we are at the T2 stage, so we are going to try all of them all together in rice, alfalfa, and hopefully wheat. I will only add in this experiment, honoring our collaboration with the Paxton Peyton that is going to talk later. This paper is in press. We gave him the constructs, and Hong Shang and Paxton, they are here from Texas, Texas Tech and USDA in Lubbock. This experiment, and you can see, and this is peanuts, irrigated field, no difference between 1, 2, 3, 4 transgenic lines, and you can see nicely what happened in dryland. The yield penalty in the wild type is significantly higher than the yield penalty in the transgenic plants. This is the field, and it's nice. So, this is the people that did the work. These are the collaborations. Thank you very much. I hope you have any questions. Can you close the door? Sorry. Will you close the door, please? Excuse me. Can you close the door? Hello? Sorry, sir. I cannot hear you.
So the question is just, did you measure the size of the plants and the different treatments in these small pots? Did they have the same lympharia? If not, they won't have the same stress experience.
Yeah. First of all, these are not small pots. These are pots like that. Second, I don't grow two plants. We grow many plants. Whether that effect is there or not, statistics take care of that. I know that the plants are not going to be similar.
Now, did you measure the Liberia?
Liberia. No. But they are not, the plants, listen, the plants are not smaller. The plants have equal photosynthetic capacity, similar weight. But yeah, maybe you're right. That's why we go to the field. I don't know if I have an answer to your question.
I think you really need to measure plant size or water potential or something in here to know that you've actually got a similar treatment across your different experimental units, so that your result may be confounded just simply by that plant size factor. So you may not be seeing an effect of a transgene at all. The transgene may be affecting tillering or leaf size,
so
or something that's going to change the stress level.
We measure tillering. Tillering is a bit increased in the transgenic plants. That is in the paper. But will field experiments convince you? Will field experiments give you an answer?
You still need to measure leaf area in the field experiments. The same issue arises.
Okay. I would say, a prima facie, those plants are not smaller. Okay?
I think that, thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you.